I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help.
Welcome, folks.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Preach it, boys.
Help me if you can, I'm feeling down.
Sunday morning with the Beatles.
And I do appreciate you being right.
Bo Mitchell, Bob Belch, you get the blessing.
Help me get my feet back on the ground.
You know, that's the essence of prayer right there.
Help?
Help.
Absolutely. So if you need some help today, you've tuned in to the right program. Not so much what I do, Bo Mitchell, or Bob Belch, my partner, but hopefully what the Lord will do in your life as you meet our wonderful guest today, Kent Scroggs. Kent, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Bob.
We've known Kent a long time.
Too long.
Back when he was...
We hate to say that.
Yes, that's right.
I've got my 62nd birthday coming up this year. That used to seem old now.
That is old, actually.
How old are you, Kent?
58.
58.
A Ute.
Just the Ute of America. What show was that? My Cousin Vinny?
My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, brother.
Great movie.
It was a great movie.
Do you want to hear something, speaking of that movie? A little known fact that we like to share once in a while in this program. I think the guy's name was Bob Gaudio, and he wrote... did he write?
Something good.
Wrote a song when he was about 14 or 15, and he thought, well, that's nice. That's it. And he was at a bowling alley one night, and Joe Pesci introduced him to his friend Frankie. And as soon as Bob Gaudio heard Frankie sing, he said, I'm going to be writing songs for that voice the rest of my life. And he was the one that wrote Big Girls Don't Cry and Walk Like a Man and Sherry, spitting out the hits from the Brill Building in New York City. Need any more of this, guys?
I'll tell you what, this is a great segue into
something.
Something. Okay.
You're always so blessed when you tune in this program. Right. There it is, stuff you don't need to know. Kent Scroggs, you are a wonderful man and a servant of the Lord, so... Back us up to when you were a kid and what was going on in your household that made you such a good person.
Well, I was blessed by a great family. I'm particularly mindful of that right now because a week ago I was down with my 91-year-old dad getting ready to say goodbye to him. But the good news is he knows the Lord. He was a great father.
You think you'll see him again?
I'm absolutely positive of that, and there's tremendous hope in that. He's been a great dad to us, and we had some quality time together, and I'm real thankful for that.
Good. Yeah, I had great closure with my dad, too. I talked to him this Sunday before he died on January 4th or 5th, 1987. I got to say, I love you. I'll call you this week. And he said, I love you, too. Something about closure that helps.
Well, I came away from our time together. My sister was down there with me, and had some real quality time with my dad and my mom, both living in the same place down there in Phoenix. And we had a great visit, and I think my father has a lot of peace about what's coming up, and I know I left our time together with a lot of peace and hope for the future. So it's kind of sad to anticipate losing your dad, but as a Christian, wow, makes all the difference.
So you've known him most of your life. Thank you for laughing. So they really were modeling for you the Christian life from the time you can remember?
Yeah, we didn't talk about it a lot around our house. I didn't become a Christian myself as a result until later in life when I got married to my wife, Lisa. But my parents were both great models of giving to others. And good folks, a lot to be thankful for there.
And how old were you when you made a decision yourself?
28. I had just gotten married. I had watched a number of my friends by that time get married and have relationships with their spouses that I did not aspire to. And I felt like most of them had their acts together a lot better than I did. And so I was looking for help, as your song at the outset was talking about. And that took Lisa and I both back to the church. And pastor there, not too long after we started preaching through the book of Romans, verse by verse, it was sometime during that, because they didn't do altar calls or invitations back then in the mainline Presbyterian church. But sometime during that process, I realized that through Jesus, I could find the hope and security that I was looking for in my life, and the help to have a good marriage. And 30 years later, Lisa and I are doing well.
It's interesting, isn't it, Bob, how when it's time for your heart and mind to be open to it, it's almost a surprise. I mean, mine was when I was 17. Some guys are when they're 5 or 6, and some guys never get around to this decision till they're on their way out at the age of your father, which is also okay, but it's an interesting process.
Yeah, I think so different for each of us, and what we get exposed to, what our point of need is. We were talking about on another show, and God seems to have exactly the right time and place. So if you're out there listening today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, you know, maybe today's your day.
I'd love it if somebody said, my faith got started with the boys on the Strange Radio Show program.
Amen.
We have had a few people contact us that said that sort of happened for them. So we appreciate you all listening and hearing what we're trying to say, which is it's not about us, but it's about the Lord and people like Kent. So what did you do most of your professional life?
I grew up professionally in the oil and gas industry as a financial guy, and ended up retiring from that, walking into my boss's office in October of 1997 and telling him I really didn't feel like I could do this anymore. God was calling me to do something else. I didn't know what that was, but I knew it wasn't there. And yeah, it's been a wonderful, although it didn't always feel wonderful, roller coaster ride, growing in my faith since then, and a few different ministry opportunities.
So our buddy Bill Bostrom's listening today, I'll guarantee you, and he wants to hear us talk about what you do now. So tell us about your ministry.
Well, Bill, glad you're listening. I am privileged to direct restoration outreach programs. We're out on East Colfax. Our mission statement is meeting needs, building relationships, and restoring lives through Christ on East Colfax. And as the statement implies, we start that process by trying to meet the needs of a lot of needy folks out there on East Colfax with things like a weekly food bank. Today, in fact, that's going on right now, although it's not Sunday morning. Sorry, guys. I spilled the beans. But we should have about 80 to 100 families coming out and picking up 30-plus pounds of food at our food bank. We do GED tutoring for last month. I think we had 23 people coming as often as every day of the week for GED tutoring. We have a new ESL program. We have 60 students involved in that ESL program. There's a huge need, particularly amongst the refugee community, which is all around us out there in Northwest Aurora, for learning how to speak English better. And we have a 12-step addiction recovery program, and then we have a huge kids program, of an average of about 70 kids each week participating in elementary, middle school, and high school programs, where Christian adults have an opportunity to love on and speak into the lives of kids in that community.
So you picked a rough part of the world there. So you kind of went where the need was on Colfax.
That's where we want to be.
Yeah, it's probably the way the Lord would do it, isn't it?
I think so. We started a new ministry in January, which we call a street ministry. It's really becoming kind of the motel in street ministry. And I was talking with the lady that helps to lead that with her husband earlier today, and they had the opportunity to serve hot soup and coffee, and a bit of the gospel and a lot of God's love to 24 people living in a motel just down the street from our building, and talked about developing a relationship with one family in particular, a mom and a dad who are trapped living in the motel. They have to choose between using their financial resources that they make either for housing or food. They've chosen housing for their kids, and we're trying to help them with the food side of things and hoping to see them in our little church next Sunday based on what I heard from Deb Ford, our Resource Center Director.
So, Bob, tell us what the Lord himself said about what Kent Scroggs is doing long before Kent Scroggs was born and God and Matthew started speaking about these very subjects.
Well, what comes to my mind is that whole passage in Matthew, 24, 25, right through there, where Jesus is talking about, really, he's talking about the end of the world and kind of how God's going to sort things out. And he makes the statement that, you saw me hungry and you fed me, you saw me naked, you clothed me, you saw me in prison and you came and visited me. The people that he's saying that to at the kind of the last judgment there say, well, when was that? Because obviously it wasn't something that was real obvious to them. They don't remember ever actually seeing Jesus. And Jesus said, whenever you've done this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Kind of goes on, by the way, and takes the flip side of that and talking to the guys whose outcome isn't quite as good and said, you saw me hungry, you didn't feed me, and saw me naked, didn't clothe me. I was in prison, you didn't come and visit. And basically says the same thing whenever you don't do this. So, I think what Kent's doing and ministries like what Kent's doing, what we would see from the outside is, some families in great need, probably, I imagine some folks that some of us wouldn't be comfortable maybe on first blush, spending time with and hooking into. And yet, from God's point of view, Mother Teresa used to say, there's Jesus in a desperate disguise. And whenever she would see a leper or a child that had been abandoned or someone in great need, that's what went through her brain. She thought back to that scripture and literally just viewed them as Jesus in distress. So, Kent and what these guys are doing is pretty special stuff.
So give us a few victory stories, somebody that you met and came alongside of, and maybe for the first time in their lives, somebody did choose them and decided to bless them, and now you've seen them blossom in a number of ways.
Yeah, well, my mind immediately goes to Tish, who's a wonderful lady, has been in and out of the legal system, struggled with addiction in her life, but she's been a part of our church, Restoration Worship Center, which Restoration Outreach Programs is affiliated with, regularly for a long time now. I don't know exactly how long. And God has done some pretty wonderful things in her life. She's a regular part of our outreach to others now. She was there with Deb Ford and her husband Doug last night, giving food to needy people last night, pretty exciting to see what God's been doing in her life. It's a blessing to Lisa and I. We do church, the first service in the morning down at Cherry Hills, where we've been members for 26 years now. I sing in the choir, but once we're done with the first service, we jump in the car and run down to Restoration Worship Center, and we do church with 25 of our best friends down there, including Tish and Alvin and Teresa and Tom and Denise and a bunch of other great friends, and they are a blessing to us. I mean, they're Jesus with clothes on in our lives, and
that's pretty good range, by the way. You go from Cherry Hills to
2,500 to 25. It's an interesting contrast each Sunday.
And I don't ever criticize someone who's successful in business. In fact, I encourage them to be more successful.
We like successful people in business.
Absolutely. And give more away to people that maybe need a break, and were born in a different part of town or to different parents than you happen to select.
Right.
So that's really good. God's given you that kind of range to worship with one crowd and head off and see the crowd that probably ministers to you more than you minister to them.
Absolutely. And I, you know, getting back to your question about life change that we've seen, I'm real excited about what's going on in the lives of several of our kids in the teen ministry that we've got, Danita and Alex and, third kid, he'll kill me for not remembering his name right now, but he's,
you'll pull it up in a second.
I will.
Paul.
Steve.
Well, this particular kid has been expelled from school. He's not allowed to go back to high school. He's getting involved in our GED program, but God has gotten a hold of his life, and he and Anita and Alex, they've become mainstay volunteers with our middle school and elementary school program, and they're speaking into the lives of these younger kids and providing great models of leadership to them. His name is Miguel. It's just been exciting to see, you know, God take lives of kids that show up pretty hard, not really necessarily interested in listening. You're not sure if they are listening. And then they turn around and they want to give back to others. It's been very cool.
Let's ask people for money.
Okay.
It's always something I enjoy doing. So you may think a $5 gift or a $500 gift or a $5,000 gift is out of your reach, and I'm saying it's probably not. You can probably think what you might do to get involved with Kent and his ministry and then tear that check up and write the real one. So I hope you'll consider doing what you can do. And how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, they can email me at kent@restorationoutreachprograms.org. Our website is www.restorationoutreachprograms.org. Lots of contact information there, lots of information about our ministry, lots of information about other ways you can get involved. And if God's calling you to get involved with ministering to the least of these in the city, we would love to explore where you might fit in that regard.
I'd love to hear a couple of those stories, by the way. You know, maybe you could tell us about some of your volunteers, because I know at Highline, you know, we've got a couple that's real hooked in with you, the Bartons, Ron and Yvonne, and actually we've had Ron on the show here in the past, and I know that they have a real heart for what you're doing. What to give us sort of an idea of what, you know, somebody coming out of the suburbs that wants to plug in and help, what are some of the kinds of things that they can do?
Well, we have a full range of opportunities in all those different programs. We could use a little bit of help, but certainly with the kids' programs, we're particularly in need of mentors in our middle school and teen programs. Those are constrained primarily by lack of additional volunteers. Our food and clothing bank could use some help. If you got time on a Monday afternoon or a Tuesday afternoon, we'd welcome you partnering with us in those regards. I have no doubt that you will be the one walking away feeling like you're most blessed. GED tutors, afternoon after school program tutors for our elementary school kids. We just started that program in January. We've got room for 11 kids right now. We've got a waiting list of more kids that would love to have a tutor helping them with their homework. You know, if we can get those kids successful academically, you know, God can do a lot with those lives for the rest of their lives. But if they get lost academically early on, their lives can literally be lost. So that's a huge way that somebody could plug in and make a kingdom impact in the life of a kid.
And exactly, location-wise, where is your facility located? And then is the church kind of adjacent to that somehow? Or?
Church is in the same building. We're all at 1540 Boston Street. We're just a half a block off of Colfax, four blocks east of Yosemite, which is the border with Denver. So we're ministering right there in that East Denver, Northwest Aurora, Colfax corridor area.
Great. So, Bob, what's the responsibility we have as followers of Christ in terms of the Good Samaritan story when we meet someone like Kent or hear of people that are just struggling down there on Colfax? Do we just kind of keep on going and buy ourselves a third car? in another place in the mountains, or are we supposed to stop and pay attention?
You know, what I like about our show, and also I know Kent being part of Cherry Hills, this is kind of a constant part of what Cherry Hills does. What we do at Highline is trying to expose people to these ministries. And obviously, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. And part of what I, you know, kind of this is just my own personal opinion, is I feel like when certain ministries or opportunities or situations get presented to us, if we're sensitive, I think that the Holy Spirit kind of does something internally in our life. God works in our life to draw us or attract us to kind of certain specific kinds of opportunities that he's probably leading us to get engaged with. So, you know, my sense is, and people are out there listening today and you hear what Kent's doing and there's something in you that stirs, to me, that's a signal that God's probably saying, this is something for you to take a closer look at. So yeah, I think we're all encouraged. You know, it's interesting. I think some people feel like you got to be careful. You don't want to enable people, you know, but, but you know, the percentage of people I think that are taking advantage of these kind of things is, and, you know, I think it's pretty small, really. I think that people would be surprised at how many people that are in real need. Someone told me that 80% of the homeless in the Denver metro area are under 12 years of age. It just blew my mind. There's just lots of families with young kids that are struggling and the economy's been hard and people need some help. And so I think particularly those of us that are called to follow Christ, that we got to be real sensitive when something like what Kent's doing comes along and say, is this something I'm supposed to be a part of? So,
yeah, I couldn't believe the first time I heard right where you're working on Colfax between the Capitol and Yosemite. Martha Wilson was with Young Life and said she was out there working with teenage prostitutes, boys and girls, between the ages of 11 and 14. But that's real world, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, our street ministry last night was dealing with a lady that was asking for help getting out of that. And we're trying to come alongside her as best we can and put her in touch with other ministries like Streets Hope that are particularly called to minister with women trapped in the sex trade. But that's where we're at. That's where we wanted to be.
Is your plan to kind of stay right there and just try and keep expanding what you're doing? Or are there other areas of town, you know, that you'd like to kind of be able to launch out in? What's the kind of the big picture for ROP?
Well, I think we'd like to expand where we are. We're not looking to set up ROP satellites around town. There's a number of other very worthy ministries that we try to connect with and partner with and refer people to if they live in different areas. But we feel like we got our hands full within the 10-block radius that we're dealing with. Most of the people that come to our ministry don't have cars. Mm-hmm. They walk over there. A few take the bus. But we'd love to have a little more room. We've got our eyes on the liquor store next door and the building that it's in, and hope that God might someday give us the resources to give them an offer they can't refuse. And
put you in the liquor business.
Yeah, well, that wasn't necessarily part of the plan.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's a great, great big building with a lot more room than what we've got right on Colfax. It'd be a great place to do ministry. Hmm.
So to quote our friend Billy Blaznowski, played by Michael Keaton in the movie Night Shift, which we're not recommending you see. It's really old and it's really strange, but he described himself as a love broker in there. And you're a hope broker and a love broker, and all of us need restoration, and yeah, you're doing it.
We invite people to come down, and you know, everybody's not called to serve through restoration outreach programs, but we are all called to serve somewhere and to help the poor. And so if it's not restoration outreach, if we're a little bit too far away from you, find a place that's ministering to the poor a little bit closer. And one of the reasons I got into this business is because I love seeing what God does in the lives of people as they make themselves available, get out of their comfort zone and serve others. And they'll be the ones most blessed.
Anything coming up? I know you guys have some great kind of fundraiser things too. Is your Pedal for Purpose, you still doing that this summer?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Bob. Yeah. On June 18th, it's a Saturday, we do have our third Pedal for a Purpose coming up. If you like to bike, you don't have to be an avid cyclist by any means. We cater mostly to families. I would ask you to consider being a part of that and helping us raise a few bucks to serve the needy down on East Colfax.
And all of that on your website, all that info?
You betcha.
All right.
It's all on our website.
Give that again real quick here.
That's the website is www.restorationoutreachprograms.org.
And that's Kent Scroggs, the executive director. So jump in. You'll be blessed, as Kent just said. And we thank you for listening to our program and letting us know every now and then that you're tuned in and you are loving these folks you're meeting. So thanks, Bob. Thanks, Kent. And we'll see you all again next week right here on KOA.
Let's go to church.
Amen. I'll open up the doors.